Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 74. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Glenn Gersmo, Executive Director of Lutheran Peace Fellowship. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. Lutheran Peace Fellowship is a community of believers who support one another in our efforts to bring about God's shalom in our lives, congregations, communities, nation, and world, responding to the gospel call to be peacemakers and justice seekers. For more information, visit LutheranPeace.org. Being Lutheran, Glenn's too modest to include biographical information on the website. He does tell a bit about himself in our conversation. I had the pleasure of meeting Glenn face-to-face in Seattle a few years ago. Since then, I handed out flyers about Lutheran Peace Fellowship at church conventions and have been singled out from the stage as distributing unauthorized literature. Well, if not civil disobedience, that might qualify as a little ecclesiastical disobedience. I apologize later. After all, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. Pleasure to speak to my friend Glenn Gersmell, the Executive Director of Lutheran Peace Fellowship from Seattle. Well, Glenn, tell us, what is a peace fellowship?
Ah, good question. Yeah, most people have heard of the Fellowship of Reconciliation, and it's 100 years old now, and it's helped develop more focused peace fellowships in a dozen denominations, and we're affiliated with another two dozen groups and with other names like Pax Christi. So there's the Baptist Peace Fellowship, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, the Jewish, the Muslim Peace Fellowship. And it's great because we can cooperate on things. We can help our members broaden their understanding of other faiths. We can share resources. And altogether, the Fellowship of Reconciliation and all these peace fellowships is the largest peace group in the world. So it's there's something pretty exciting about that as well. We don't mention that very often, so I don't think we've gotten too arrogant about it. But it does give some hope that, maybe we can make this work.
Well, I understand that the Lutheran Peace Fellowship works with Lutherans around the world. This is not just a regional organization.
Right, yeah. And, even one of our board members lives in Bolivia, so it's a pretty broad range that we connect with and can tap into.
I don't want to get contentious early on, though it seems to me there are lots of different flavors of Lutherans, and so you probably have more interest in from some Lutheran groups than from others.
Right. And in fact, I grew up with one of the ones that isn't ELCA, the so-called Missouri Synod Lutherans, which is pretty conservative. So I have an understanding of some of those other types of Lutherans. And I've also had experience working with Lutherans in other parts of the world. So I have a little bit of a feel and I think a little better ability to reach out beyond the largest denomination, which is the ELCA with 5.5 million members. So, yeah.
And just for definition purpose, the ELCA stands for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Right.
As you say, the largest Lutheran denomination in the United States and one of the most progressive denominations of all Christians in the U.S.
Yeah, we're pretty good. Yeah, particularly known for things like working on hunger. It has one of the largest hunger programs in the country. But there's, there are other ways that it's been able to use its strength to do good things. Our presiding bishop did some very, very immediate reactions to Ferguson and to the shootings that we've seen lately. And so there's been, I think, some good, good response to things and helping members around the country connect and think well about very challenging issues.
That's Elizabeth Eaton, by the way, is the bishop talking
about.
Now, you mentioned hunger. one would think what is a peace fellowship doing talking about hunger?
Right. That's a great question, really an important one. And there are two main responses. One is that hunger and poverty are among the most important causes or consequences of violence around the world or in our country. Causes and consequences of violence. And then secondly, the actual word that Jesus used that's translated as peace means more than our word peace. It's not just getting those countries to stop fighting or getting the kids to stop fighting, but it actually fully includes our concepts of justice, of reconciliation, welcoming community, wholeness. And so with that broader understanding, something like hunger is really very deeply connected with what we do and is a part of what we encourage. Climate change, you know, Israel-Palestine, simple living, like you've been so great at helping people build understanding of and resources and so forth. Yeah, a pretty broad range. It doesn't include everything. I mean, we're pretty careful to not let that become, you know, dissipate our strength and energy. But most people find that pretty exciting and pretty encouraging and pretty useful.
I assume the word you're referring to is shalom.
Right. Yeah.
And so shalom is used in almost flippant ways nowadays. You know, like the word love can mean so many different things. And so it's good to focus in on, you know, Jesus' original intent using the word shalom.
Right, right. And just to give one example, there's a Bible that you can buy that has highlighting all over it, highlighting every verse that has to do with poverty and hunger and justice issues. And there's like 10,000 of them. And so for people to pick out one issue that they feel strongly about and find a half a dozen or 10 or 15 verses in the Bible and then make that a big part of their work is to really ignore the focus of the Bible and the focus of Jesus, who over and over again, you know, told stories about the Good Samaritan, who, by the way, would be the Muslim of his time, or who told us, you know, seek peace and pursue it. Don't just, you know, make it a part of your life, but a really important part. Or live in harmony with one another. There's a dozen verses in the Bible. One of my favorites is in Isaiah, where God says to his servant, I have called you and given you power to see that justice is done on earth. I mean, that's not very unclear. And it really does, the more you do it, the more you see how that's the central issue of our time and also the central theme of what Jesus talked about. So it's a wonderful discovery, I think, for many people. It's really eye-opening.
Well, now, the way that the Lutheran Peace Fellowship approaches this is multifaceted, for example, through education, through advocacy, through working with youth, producing resources. So let's take each one of those because there's a lot in each case. Why don't we start with education?
Okay. Well, we have a wide range of forums that we offer, and we have a brief summary that gives a paragraph, pretty good-sized paragraph, on seven of them and then lists names of others. We've distributed it very widely, and we've heard from people in almost every other denomination that they found our website to be better than their own just because we have like 150 resources that give people the tools to be able to approach everything from biblical peacemaking and global conflict to nonviolence, discipleship, budget priorities, hunger amidst plenty is the title of one of them. One of my favorite titles is How to Be a Bridge in a World of Walls. Lots of creative ways of, actually there are two versions of it. One is bridging differences and another is bridging or closing conflict that is in your family or in your church or in your neighborhood or with your neighbor or whatever. So, yeah, there's a pretty wide range of things that we do in that education. And as you mentioned earlier, it connects directly to advocacy as well and actually acting on it, doing good, making changes.
Well, now you're only one guy, Glenn. How do you pull this off? All these workshops
right. And
things are, I mean, I see that you have them all over the U.S.
Right, yeah. I guess one of it is that I came in mid-career. I was later on in my life, and I didn't have a family yet. My son was born a half a dozen years after I started with this work. But it's also that I had taught every grade from fifth to graduate school. I had taught teachers. I'd directed a major community leadership training center in New York City. We trained 30,000 people in the time I worked with it. I've done a lot of curriculum development, and just the fact that I've done so much in that area has helped attract others who are feeling like this is a group that's serious about it and wants to do some effective things. And so we've got a whole bunch of people that have done editing or workshops or education, work with youth, etc. So I feel just so fortunate to be in this neighborhood or network. I have a graduate degree from an Ivy League school in public policy, and they advertise what people make after they graduate, and I make about a fifth of what the average person in working with nonprofits makes. But I've never really felt badly about it, in part because it's just the best thing I've done, you know. And, you know, the fact that I worked as an organizer in the highest crime areas of New York City has also given me a reason to feel grateful. I've seen violence, I've seen guns and knives, and I've seen the effects of them, and I know how fortunate I am to not be in the hospital on them, but helping people avoid those things or change the root causes that lead to that kind of violence and conflict in our society, like we're seeing with the police violence. So it's both important issues, but it's also really kind of encouraging and rewarding.
I've noticed that a number of these workshops are cooperative workshops where you may be working with the Fellowship for Reconciliation at a regional gathering.
Right, right. Yeah, we try to do that as much as we can. And, you know, there have been many years in the 20 that I've been with LPF that we've led over 100 workshops in 1 year. And we've led like 340 leadership workshops, 70 of them being weekend long or a week long or a college course. So there's really been quite a lot of good development of other people around the country. I led 3 years ago a workshop at Gustavus College, for example, and we did a leadership training piece of it so that when I left, each semester after that and right through now, students have led the same or a similar workshop for people to help them understand some of the issues of peacemaking, some of the definitions that we talked about earlier, some of the power of nonviolence, even what Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi and other people discovered was really a eye-opening, effective way of approaching conflict, far better than what it replaced. So there's just a whole range of pieces of the puzzle that make it really work.
For our non-Lutheran listeners, Gustavus Adolphus College is in St. Peter, Minnesota.
Minnesota, right, yeah.
Let's move on to advocacy. How is Lutheran Peace Fellowship involved in advocacy? And maybe give us a definition of what advocacy means.
Right. Well, advocacy is acting on an issue, in particular in the political environment, looking for ways to get your state legislature or city council or Congress to move on a resolution or a bill that would improve a particular situation. For example, on hunger, one of the ways that we described it, and not just we often work with other groups, as you mentioned, creating jobs and what we had been calling a circle of protection around the programs that really help and are most useful for homeless people, so that they don't, that members of Congress are alerted to the fact that there's a whole bunch of groups that are going to be on your case if you say, oh, let's cut food stamps, you know, which is preposterous. I mean, we spend more money on our military every hour and a half than we spend every year on food stamps. And yet to think that food stamps is the problem in our budget is just ridiculous. So we've often had to defend, you know, programs like that. So advocacy is a range of things, you know, helping Congress work on things like budget priorities, on being more effective on Israel-Palestine. You know, there's been a terrible mythology that's developed around what really works there. Or climate change, you know, there's 56 members of Congress who are what they call climate deniers. That is, they don't, they officially anyway, don't believe that that climate change is happening. Well, you know, 99% of scientists are saying the opposite. I mean, let's get real here. What case do they have? So yeah, there's a range of issues that we work on, and mostly cooperating with other groups so that we have a sense of potential to actually make a difference.
In terms of resources, I've noticed that Lutheran Peace Fellowship produces not only paper and pencil resources, but also things on DVDs, interactive games, for right. other things. You produce at least one blog a month, and
right.
and I really look forward to getting your emails, because they're not sober, always sober and serious. Many of the items you send us by email are really humorous.
Yeah. And that's a good area to also talk about the impact beyond Lutherans. I mean, we have a fair number of members who aren't Lutherans who just like us, you know. So if you're not Lutheran and listening, you can be a member too. And make it one of the things that you contribute to. But some of the things that we've done have really gone beyond our arena. Just to take one example, a million people have used our computer activities. They're all very interactive. People in every denomination have literally called me and told me, wow, that's a great thing. Can we use it? And I say, go ahead. In fact, put your name at the bottom and your email and your address and your phone number. On the handouts, and part of it is that one of them, we have three of them, was adopted by the largest critical thinking project in U.S. public education and is in 60,000 classrooms. So that gave it a bit of a lift. But that's not the only one. I mean, the UN has a day of peace, September 21st, and a dozen years ago, a little bit more, the churches decided to have an International Day of Prayer for Peace, and they picked the same date just to make it fit in. And LPF was so involved in that we wrote the first resource that was put in bulletins around the country and world in 10,000 churches that first year. Or we did so much work on organizing around nonviolence that our director was selected to be the official U.S. representative to UN planning meetings in India. I say our director as a shy way of saying me. That's sort of a Garrison Keillor way of, you know, being a Lutheran, not promoting yourself there. And there's a lot of other ways in which we've done work with food bank and meal program volunteers. Very, very basic stuff. There's a pretty exciting breadth. And as you said, we have a website, we have a couple blogs, we have a Facebook page, and just a real reach beyond just our own members. So pretty exciting.
It sounds like there's no problem with a conflict between church and state here. It sounds like you're being used in public schools.
Right. And part of it was that we it, it our resource was put into or a part of this other resource, so that I don't think they even mentioned Lutheran Peace Fellowship in it, but we did it. It's, you look at their CD and you look at our website or our CD, and it's identical. It's the same thing. So, and the one that we're most using now is the one after that, so it's not, there isn't that conflict. But, and the range is really amazing. Like, we have a group of four or five, depending on what you count, women's resources that have been very, very popular. We just can't keep them in print. I mean, we're just constantly calling up the, you know, the Xerox place and saying, we need another 50 of each of these. And, of course, most of the people that use it, you know, get on our website, but there are still people that like to pick it up at a conference and not be on their phone or a computer or something. So,
and yeah. Tell us more about how you work specifically with youth.
Well, we've had a full-time youth coordinator for a number of years, our most popular leadership series, it's called Peace Points. There's a dozen of them on every imaginable topic, from, you know, simple living and conflict resolution to, you know, emerging issues to how to be a bridge in a world of walls, etc. And these Peace Points were, all of them were originally written specifically for youth, and the most of the people working on writing them and editing them and giving comments were young people, yeah, leaders, but also just people that, you know, volunteered, I'll look at that, you know. And so a fair number of our resources are not only accessible to young people, but were actually written mostly by young people, or had a major role in shaping them and reviewing every word of it. So, yeah, it's a really exciting part of our work, and keeps you hopping. And I should say, it's not just a one-way street. We don't just share things. I mean, the word that we use most often in our leadership training is listen. That you need to listen first. You know, ask questions before you give your answers. You know, let the other person define and shape where things are going, so that you're not falling into the old, you know, patterns of our culture.
Let's talk a little bit about some current issues, because we have a lot about peace or lack of peace in the news. Now, when the Lutheran Peace Fellowship makes a statement about a particular situation, is that something that you do, or is that something that you work through the board of directors, or how often does that happen, that you make a statement or take a stand on a particular incident or particular current issue?
Right. I would say at least once a month, and it's I think altogether it probably averages out to be almost two a month, and of course sometimes it's three or four, but and I would say pretty much every one of them is shared with the entire board before it goes online, or reviewed afterwards, and we'll maybe do a little editing and so forth. We've almost never had to pull something because there was conflict about, you know, whether that was the right direction to go. We've been pretty fortunate. But yeah, there's a pretty strong involvement in this larger group, who make a commitment to, you know, to read everything that comes in, to look at their emails, you know, several times a day, and to jump on these requests for, could you take a look at this, or, you know, is this ready to go? Would you support this? You know, right in the subject line, and then maybe the subject. So we haven't been able to keep up with everything. I'm always frustrated that we don't. You know, there are issues that we haven't yet spoken on, but by and large, we've done pretty good.
Now, when you issue these statements, do they go to the public press? Do they go to commercial media? Do they go to church press?
Yeah. Some, I would say generally to Lutheran or wider ones, but we also have a list of all of the Peace Fellowships and other groups. And I was fortunate to spend 5 years speaking of advocacy, with a NADER group that did grassroots organizing in colleges and had very, very concrete things that we worked for in the state legislature and so forth. So one of my backgrounds is that I've been asked to testify before or consult with over 20 government agencies and congressional committees and city councils and so forth. But it also I've been on every imaginable news program, from All Things Considered to all three network news programs. And so we all learned how to, you know, reach out to the media and not be uncomfortable with doing so, and to, you know, give them follow-up calls. And I've had articles in the New York Times, the Newsday, Seattle Times, Houston Chronicle, you know, et cetera, either about our work or by me. And, you know, I'm not the greatest writer in the world, but, you know, we just know how to reach out. And it's made a difference. It's helped reach more people.
Well, if I'm correct, there are no specific dues to be a member of the Lutheran Peace Fellowship, but I assume that most of your budget is from private donors.
Yeah, that's true. And we give sort of suggested numbers, like a brand new person or a low-income person can give $9 a year. A gift membership is $19, but if somebody sends $15, we put them on. I mean, we don't quibble, and we're pretty clear about that. We do have larger numbers, and we've gotten into a habit of everybody who gives over $75 or $125 or whatever, $50, can get a free book or a resource or something. We recently featured probably the best novel about nonviolence organizing I've ever seen, called The Dandelion Insurrection by Rivera Sun. Really wonderful piece of work. There's even a study guide for this novel on how to use it in the group. But we've also done Mitri Rahib, a Palestinian Christian, his book. We've done people's personal memoirs organizing, you know, around various issues. There's a couple anthologies, like George Johnson's most recent anthology. We've distributed boxes and boxes of them, and by, I mean, 50 per box. So lots of people have gotten that. And I think it's one of the best anthologies I've ever seen in my life, probably one of the two best. And you're right, it's just, we're flexible. I mean, we know people are in different situations, and we trust their judgment.
For those people who aren't familiar with George Johnson, he's the was the hunger director for one of the Lutheran churches for a good long time, and is now an author living in Southern California.
Right, and leads workshops that brings in almost all of the major figures in peace and nonviolence. So he's a pretty wide-ranging dude.
So for more information, visit LutheranPeace.org on the internet, and supply your email address, and you'll start hearing from Glenn on some interesting and even humorous issues.
There's one other thing I'd like to say, and that is that there are lots of ways to help out that really would fit your listeners' abilities and interests. Everything from, we have great names for them. One is called an idea scout, someone who keeps their eye open for new issues and emails people and says, let's get rolling on this. Or emerging issue enabler is a fun name for people that take that and help write things, you know. Network strengthener, to strengthen our Facebook and blog and other kinds of ways of reaching out and encouraging peace and justice forums, sharing resources, helping people join in advocacy actions. So there's a wide range of intergenerational thought leader, grant scout. We've gotten probably 40 grants in our life, and we're we're always looking for people that have had even a little experience or want to learn what that process is about. So it really helps us, you know, beyond what our members contribute, and helps us develop new areas of our work. So, yeah, there's a whole wide variety of ways of helping out, and we're pretty open to people's strengths and interests, and not having a very rigid idea of what people have to do. So we welcome your contacting us and joining in. And I grew up with a sort of a biblical focus. It's not been so much of the focus of a lot of people, but I'm just really impressed with how many places in the Bible that just hits something right on the head. Overcome evil with good. Isn't that a great phrase? Or do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Take the kinds of things you and I have been talking about and move in a new direction that avoids the artificial good guy, bad guy, or friend, enemy, kinds of dichotomies that corrupt so much of activity in the world, you know. So there's a range of ways in which it's possible to see new things, to live in a world of violence, but not in a world without hope. And I'm just thrilled to be a part of something that helps make that happen. I appreciate what you do, and if people don't know, this is really one of the more creative and insightful and helpful people and groups around. So make this a two-way street. You get on our website, but get on Simple Living Works website too. So thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Glenn. It's always great talking to you, and peace be with you.
You've been listening to my conversation with Glenn Gersmell, Executive Director of Lutheran Peace Fellowship. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on our blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, click window number 3. We've received many responses lately in a variety of moods, mostly brief and mostly about our new Simple Living Nudge series. To read the latest responses to all Simple Living Works media, including our new Simpler Living Daily Nudges, click the link in the show notes or click our recent comments in window number 5 at simplelivingworks.org. In regard to the nudge about children selling things for school door to door, a Jay at Our Savior's Lutheran in Everett, Washington said, "This is a great idea. I've been doing this for years. Another idea that I support, buying Girl Scout cookies for the military. The benefits, number one, the Girl Scouts receive the regular benefit. Number two, the troops receive cookies. And number three, I don't have tempting calories around my house." The idea of that nudge, by the way, was to give money directly to schools rather than supporting businesses by buying cookies door to door. I received this nice notice from Adrian Ramo at the Columbia University Certified Health and Wellness Coach, Medical and Corporate Wellness Dietitian at OneBiteWellness.com. Referring to my nudges, she said, "Hi, Gerald. This is a tremendous resource. Regarding what you wrote about minimalism, some members might enjoy meeting up with the Columbus, that's Columbus, Ohio, minimalist group. We meet once a month and discuss different topics." And I'll be giving that Facebook page link in the show notes. Thanks for sharing. Best of health, Adrian. Good friend Rita Swan, writing in regard to the nudge about green investments, said, "Have you provided a list of mutual funds that will not invest in the fossil fuel industry? While I'm still employed, we can buy a Roth IRA each year for $6,500. I don't do well buying individual stocks, but it's so hard to be sure that a mutual fund does not invest in fossil fuels, pipelines, etc. Thank you, Rita. I will do some homework on that one. In regard to my email, people love Simple Living Nudges and Blogs, John DeGraff replied, "Thanks for all you do, Jerry." And thank you too, John. John is the producer of the well-known documentaries Affluenza and Escape from Affluenza, as well as many others. In regard to the Simple Living Works Weekly Digest, Kate Hepburn said, "Simple Living Works is such an amazing resource for information. I feel like a kid in a candy store every time I look through the topic choices." And Helen wrote in to unsubscribe, saying, "It's too Christian. The values support are not so limited by faith." Thanks for that observation, Helen. Also, Barbara wrote in to say, "Your daily nudges are helping me remember what my values and priorities are." Thank you. And Gloria wrote in to say, "At this point in my life, it is overwhelming information. Thank you for all your work." And thank you, Gloria. She was referring to the Weekly Digest, which is, shall we say, extensive. Some might say, text-heavy. Kirsten wrote in to say, "I love what you guys do, but I spend much less time in front of my computer these days, and simplifying for me has included streamlining my inbox. Keep up the good work. Peace, Kirsten." We can sure empathize with that. Although I hope that folks will continue to receive information about simple living as encouragement, whether it's the daily nudge or whether it's the monthly newsletter. Our good friend Jean Bockholt wrote to say, "Always helpful. I like the quick alternative giving art." Thank you. Yes, Jean sees some of our kind of retro line art that we use in our blogs. I referred to Friends of the Third World in a blog recently, and so my friend Jim Getch wrote to say, "Thanks for the kind words. We've been at it about as long as you have. If we can be of any help, keep in touch." And I think we'll be hearing from Jim on this program soon. Heard from Johan, who wrote to say, "Thanks. I look forward to being nudged." And Miriam and Ken wrote to say, "Nudge? This sounds great. Hope to be included." In regard to our episode 71 podcast about Jerusalem Farm Intentional Community, Bethy Bennett wrote to say, "I love the simple life." And Anita C. Hill wrote about our Simple Living birthday wishes that we send out each day. "Wow, Simple Living Works seems pretty cool." Another note from Rita Swan in regard to a nudge saying, "Good ideas on the beggar dilemma." That was in regard to giving beggars crunch bars rather than cash. MH wrote in to say, "Thanks, there's a lot of good stuff in your emails, but sometimes it's all just overwhelming. A short mailing is a good idea." And then at the bottom, MJ or MH wrote, "A suggestion of kindness for today. Did your coworker have a bad day today? Bring her coffee tomorrow morning." That's a good idea. Just make sure it's fair trade coffee. And we heard from the Moores in regard to the nudge saying, "Jerry, I'll give it a try, but my inbox is full of notices from every direction. Thanks for your good work." Clark wrote in with saying, "Nudge, you do a wonderful and helpful service." Jane Cartwright wrote in to said, "Sign me up and let me know how I can support your mission." And our good longtime friend Dick Webster wrote to say, "Good idea. Look forward to hearing from you and colleagues more often. Thanks. Casey Williams wrote in to say, thank you for all that you do. Jim Goditis wrote to say, Jerry, I'm retiring from Duke, that's Duke University, at the end of this month, so please change my contact email address. I look forward to getting your periodic updates at the new email address. Thanks for your continued good work in this area. Peace, Jim. Well, I'm looking forward to a conversation with Jim Getch of Friends of the Third World, a fair trade organization in Indiana, in our next episode. But now it's time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works Podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works Podcast and would like more basic information, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember, you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works Podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscription to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive way of life. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. It's a balance of personal responsibility and advocacy for just public policy. It's more than personal happiness, though that's quite important. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less. The classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
So others can simply live, learn to live simply, so others can simply live, learn to live simply, so others can live.